This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Patients Like Me is a free website where people can share their health data to track their progress, help others, and change medicine for good. As co-founder, president, and chief privacy officer, Ben Haywood has overseen all stages of Patients Like Me's growth. Ben's brother, Jamie, company co-founder and chairman, delivered the keynote address at DIA's 50th anniversary annual meeting in 2014. We are grateful that Ben Haywood has joined to discuss the work of Patients Like Me, including and especially its recently announced partnership with digital life company iCarbonX. Welcome, Mr. Haywood, and thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For several years, industry and regulators have asked, should we engage patients in drug development? But they're now asking, how do we quantify the value of patient engagement in drug development? Mr. Haywood, what is your advice on strategies and practicalities of doing this?
Well, so obviously, you know, patients are key and should be the driving force in all of medicine and in particular around drug development. You know, I think fundamentally the one of the ways we look at it is that patient value should drive market value of products and services, and that includes the development of drugs. And so as we look at this problem, we think there's huge opportunities for patient input and the patient voice and the patient real-world experience to impact the full cycle of drug development, from understanding what are the unmet needs of patients to helping improve the way we measure and understand and test the value of drugs, to ultimately, when they're released in the world, being partners in understanding and managing the risk and the reward of new products as they go and new drugs as they go into patients in the real world. And I think ultimately there's huge opportunities across that full spectrum for patients to really fundamentally make a difference.
Are there ways that you have found useful to quantify the value of this patient engagement?
Yeah, we've done we have a number of things that we do to help along that spectrum. We work with our communities to help drug companies optimize their trial design to be more friendly to both measuring what patients truly value as well as the experience of going through the trial. We've done a number of engagements that have fundamentally already changed the trial protocol for companies to make them more easy to engage with by patients. And ultimately, that's going to make it so you're going to have a higher, lower recruiting costs and higher engagement over time and obviously the economics that go with that. Additionally, we're working with the FDA, with the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology to understand our type of data, what we sometimes call patient-generated health data, and see how that can impact the regulatory environment, whether it's in drug safety, REMS, pharmacovigilance, or other areas. So there's a number of areas where obviously patient input can do it, and we continue to explore that both with regulators and as well as our life science partners.
Do you know of examples where patient involvement in drug development has actually cut down the time and the cost of developing a new medicine?
All the way back in 2008, where we were working with Novartis on an MS trial, and they announced that we accelerated the trial, to recently the clinical trial optimization, where we work with life sciences companies on their protocols to engage our patients, engage them in designing them better. We've gotten specific feedback about how the trials have protocoled. Now, how protocols have changed. Now, while those are relatively new, we've been doing that the last couple of years, so we haven't netted out all of the economics, but just from the very high level, it's pretty obvious that it will many of those engagements have resulted in changes that will make it easier for patients to engage, lower attrition, and actually lower satisfaction increased satisfaction with the trial. So I'm pretty confident the economics would follow that.
A few moments ago, you mentioned the FDA, and I'm glad you did that, because FDA Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf, among others, is a strong proponent of aligning clinical trial data with real-world data. Is Patients Like Me active in this alignment effort? Are you working with any regulatory leaders or other experts on this?
Absolutely. We obviously really truly believe in the importance of real-world data. Our communities and our patients are not taking drugs or are looking for care in a clinical trial environment. They're getting that care in a real world. And, you know, fundamentally, you need to understand how products and services and drugs specifically work in the real world with real patients. I think, obviously, you know, clinical trials have historically been the gold standard of medical evidence, but, you know, they've been narrowed to the point where the applicability as they extend into the real world is becoming less and less. While we're able to measure the drug effect in a much more specific and narrow way, what that means when they're actually released into the real world is less applicable. And I think, you know, in an ideal environment, we measure what's happening to in the real world, what patients care about in the real world, and that would be the dominant measures that trials use to measure the effect of drugs. And I think that alignment needs to happen. And we do a lot of work to do that, from our work with the FDA to we have a project with National Quality Forum looking at how patient input can improve performance measures, which is how the system is reimbursed for care, and really looking at aligning that to what patients care about.
And moving on to another topic, this past January 5th, 2017, Patients Like Me announced a new partnership with digital life company iCarbonX. To borrow from the announcement, the purpose of this partnership is, quote, to apply next-generation biological measures and machine learning and accelerate a deeper understanding of the basis of human health and disease, end of quote. What is meant by next-generation biological measures, and what do you hope to achieve?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of talk about precision medicine and the value of the genome in medicine. And obviously understanding your genome and your fate that comes from that is useful, but quite frankly, it doesn't impact current state of health nearly as much as we'd like to think. And so what we're looking at doing is working with newer biological measures that measure the state of the body as they exist today, whether that's measuring the proteins in the body, the immunome, you know, understanding the immune system better, or the microbiome, so whether it's skin biome or gut biome or other parts of the biome. I'm really measuring that at a level of precision that will allow us to understand what's happening to you right now. And I think what's exciting about that is that combination of engaging patients around that deep understanding of their disease, plus the disease experience or the phenotype that we work with patients today to capture, will really be a very valuable tool to apply machine learning to. And as patients take interventions or drugs or try new products and services, we can begin to measure what specifically happens in the biology and then how that manifests itself in the patient experience in a way that I think is unparalleled. And we're really excited to begin to create this next generation learning system with our patients utilizing these new technologies.
It seems that there would be a natural application for wearable devices in this space. Would you comment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think sensors, both active and passive sensors, are a big part of that. So I think the iCarbonX and our alliance talks about that as sort of digitizing the human condition. So whether that's our current framework where we help patients through interviewing them and understanding them express their disease experience in a sort of computable way, or a sensor like you described capturing, you know, whether it's walking or sleep or other important parts of the biology and regulatory systems, or these next generation biological measures that I just talked about. All of those are key to painting the full picture of a patient experience and then putting on top of that a patient's goals in their environment and understanding what tools and assets they can have to affect change. I think we really can enable patients to be much more effective consumers of healthcare, as well as enable them to be much better managers of their own health and wellness.
Will this partnership that's been announced focus on a specific disease or therapeutic area or on a specific patient population? And how did you determine the starting point?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be working with the communities that we already have today that are very strong. I think, you know, whether it's MS, ALS, fibromyalgia, RA, all of these areas where patients have, you know, significant chronic illness, multiple symptoms that affect themselves in very different ways. So very heterogeneous diseases. And we'll be working with those communities and those patients and basically initially giving all of these technologies away for free so they can understand them and really begin to differentiate and understand their illness in a unique way. I think it's the ultimate definition of precision medicine. So, you know, very much this is where we've been and just going deeper with new technologies and applying that in a way that our patients can consume them and utilize them and make better choices for them.
Thank you. My final question has to do with the possible opportunities for DIA and similar organizations to contribute to the mission of patients like me. I'm wondering about your thoughts on this.
Well, whenever we're actually looking at partnerships, we want to understand what our partners can do and are working on to enable our patients generally, and then specifically our patients in our communities, to get access to better tools and services or enable them through new technologies to better manage and understand their illness. So, you know, we really look at it as not what they can do for patients like me, but what can our partners do for our communities and our patients? And that's our starting point of our conversations. And really our best partnerships are where we're working together to solve that problem collectively so that, you know, patients like me, the communities and our patients, as well as our partners are all winning in a virtuous cycle. And that's a lot of the work we do with industry regulators and the system.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Haywood. Those are all the questions I had, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the offer to join you. Thank you.
To learn more about this topic, visit diaglobal.org. For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.